This is Fresh Air. When Iris DeMent's first CD, Infamous Angel, came out in 1992, folk singer John Prine wrote in the liner notes, "Iris DeMent's songs talk about isolated memories of life, love, and living. Iris has a voice I like a whole lot, like one you've heard before, but not really." Iris DeMent first started performing in public in the mid-80s, and while singers like Prine and Nancy Griffith have sung her praises, she's still relatively unknown. Mostly, she gets airplay on alternative and public radio stations. But that could change. She has a new CD called My Life and a busy touring schedule. One of the subjects she sings about is her large family. She was born in Arkansas and grew up in California, the youngest of 14 children. Before we meet Iris DeMent, let's begin with a title song of her new album, My Life.
Don't count for nothing when I look at this world. I feel so small, and my life, it's only a season, a passing September that no one will recall.
Your songs are intensely personal, it seems to me. And of course, there's the inevitable question about how autobiographical your songs are, how much you write directly or even indirectly from your own life.
I think that I hope I'm not making a mistake to say this, but I think that it's true to say that if I don't write directly from my own life, I always write indirectly from my own life. I have a lot of songs that are very much about me, but I think whenever I write, I have to find something in my own life that I can identify with in order to write a song. So, yeah, there's always a chunk of me.
Did you ever take singing lessons?
No, I didn't.
So the voice that we hear on I guess you can't say albums anymore, that we hear on CDs, that's the voice you were born with?
I guess so. I didn't go purchase a different one along the way.
Well, I didn't know whether you've changed it or played with it or developed it yourself.
Well, I guess the way I should answer that is I'm told, at least, you know, that I could always sing, and that probably is true because my family just seems like we could sing. I mean, as far as, you know, having a decent voice and an ability to carry a tune seemed to come pretty natural to all of us. But certainly I developed my own style along the way and tried to get better at singing. I listened to a lot of records, and when I found somebody that I really loved, I'll just come out and tell you, I spent good chunks of time trying to sing just like them.
Who would these people be, though?
Well, probably starters was Loretta Lynn,
okay.
But even probably just subconsciously by singing along to her records when I was very young, and, ooh, I really like that. And you just imitate it. You do that with everything in your life. Kids imitate their parents. That's how we grow up, know what to do. So for me, it was with artists, you know. I can remember probably about 10 years old working really hard to sing just like Aretha Franklin. I just adored her, so, you know, I wanted to be her. And I've continued to do that. I've done it with a lot of people. And, you know, my most recent one, I've broken myself of that since I, you know, started writing. I realized I needed to find my own style and my own way of doing things, but the most recent one was Lefty Frizzell. I just heard him and fell in love with his voice. And so, you know, I'm sure that what I do is a mix of all those things. It's partly what I was born with, and it's partly what's inspired me along the way.
Well, Iris, I want to talk some more, but first we're going to take a very short break. And my guest on Fresh Air is Iris Dement. She's a singer-songwriter. She has a new album out called My Life. This is Fresh Air. Singer-songwriter Iris Dement is my guest. I want to play a song from your new album, My Life, and this song is called No Time to Cry, and it's about your father, who died 2 years ago, and it was about his death. And before we play that song, first of all, how did he die?
My father was 82 years old when he died, and my dad had had a stroke about 6 years before that, I guess it was, and he never fully recovered from that stroke. And this is really embarrassing to say, but I don't know all the medical explanations for how my dad died. I know that his heart started getting weak, and he started losing circulation in his leg, and then just one thing led to another, and then within a couple of weeks, his heart just wasn't pumping the blood right, the doctor said, and so he just gradually died, and so I guess you say his heart gave out on him.
Hmm. Well, let's play No Time to Cry from your new album.
My father died a year ago today. Rooster started crowing when they carried Dad away. There beside my mother in the living room I stood, with my brothers and my sisters knowing Dad was gone for good. Well, I stayed at home just long enough to lay him in the ground, and then I caught a plane to do a show up north in Detroit town, because I'm older now. I've got no time to
In your liner notes to your new album, you write about your father and about his fiddle, and he played as a young man, but put his fiddle away, it seems the way you write, because of religion.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
Well, I'm still not all that certain about what exactly happened. I know that the church, way back in those days, certainly had an attitude about fiddles and banjos and things like that, because those were the instruments that were used at dance halls. And the churches that I grew up in didn't want to affiliate themselves with those sorts of things.
And that was the Pentecostal church?
Yes. Okay. So I, in spite of what my mother says, you know, my mom told me later that it wasn't really so much that, but that my dad associated with his past life. And I'm sure that that's partly true, but I also think that the church associated those instruments with a life that they didn't approve of.
Do you know much about your dad's past life, to use your words?
I grew up in Southern California, and my first memories of my dad were there. My dad was a janitor and at this place, and it was Southern California in a housing tract. But I always knew that there was something different about my dad and my family, for that matter. I was always aware that there was just something about him that didn't seem like the neighborhood dads. So I've always, from the time I was young, been collecting little pieces of information about him to just understand things a little better. And so I should explain maybe that my dad was born and raised on an island in Arkansas. I have pictures of this house, actually, that my dad grew up in, and it's like this wooden frame shack. I mean, you can practically look through the pieces of wood. In fact, some of my brothers remember waking up with snow on their legs, you know. So my dad's world that he grew up in was totally different from mine. He lived there till he was 50-something years old, I believe, maybe some right around in there. And his family, his brothers and sisters, when they grew up, they built houses out there and raised their kids. So my dad grew up in this very isolated world that basically was just his family. I also, you know, as a kid, I was always intrigued that they rode around on horses and buggies and things like that, and I'd hear about this stuff. I remember hearing my brothers talk about that, you know, going to church. Well, my mom, too, going to church on the buggy.
Well, he clearly, your father clearly was a religious man, and religion was very important to him. Did he raise you and your 13 brothers and sisters with religion?
Yes. Well, actually, I can't speak for my oldest ones. I think that my dad had already had several of the kids before he got religion. In fact, I need to talk to my mother, but it might have been, you know, four or five kids, actually, before he really got religion in the big way.
Meaning being saved.
Yeah, being saved and completely changing your life around. So from my perspective, I say yes to that. I don't know about some of the older kids. I'd have to ask them. But during the time that I was growing up, by all means, we were very religious and went to church quite a lot and got a lot of religion in the house as well. So, yeah, my dad and my mother both very much raised us extremely religiously.
And the music in the house was what, gospel music?
Well, my parents let us buy records and let us listen to the radio music that wasn't gospel music. They called it worldly music. Mm-hmm. So we got to listen to that music, but the music that we sang in the house and worked on in the house was gospel music. My family was sort of like the music family in the church, so there was a lot of preparing, like for specials, what they call for church, like. My sisters would work up specials and different groups, so there was always a lot of gospel music.
Would you describe yourself as a religious person? I mean, do you go to Pentecostal church?
I quit going to church when I was 16, about 16 years that old, I guess it was. I feel like I'm religious, but I'm not. I haven't found a book of religion that I feel all the way comfortable with, and I haven't found a church that I feel comfortable with. I went to Unitarian Church for a while, and I like a lot of their ideas and the things they say, but I just think they could improve on their music programs a little. It's a little boring in my book. So to me, church isn't complete without some really good music.
Well, so. Speaking of music, you have an interesting song, and I don't know whether this reflects the state of your faith. The song is called Let the Mystery Be, and it's on your first album, Infamous Angel. Does that reflect where you're at?
Yeah, pretty much that's how I think about those things.
Well, let's play Let the Mystery Be, and this is performed by our guest on Fresh Air today, Iris DeMent.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Some say once gone, you're gone forever, and some say you're gonna come back. Some say you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is.
That singer-songwriter Iris DeMent singing Let the Mystery Be from her album Infamous Angel. More from Iris DeMent. This is Fresh Air. We're back with singer-songwriter Iris DeMent. She has a new CD called My Life. We heard earlier about her father, who died a few years ago. She told me her mother also has been a big influence on her life and music.
She loves music. I mean, more than just singing well, my mom just has a great passion for music and has, apparently, since she was very young. Recently she gave me this little book of like school pieces of paper. My mom's 76, so mm-hmm. this was like when she was 13, 14, of songs she'd been collecting from the time she was very young, where these old songs that she'd write down on a piece of paper, and she tied the book together, little shoestrings and stuff. So my mom's had a great passion for music for a long time.
Well, there's a song on Infamous Angel called Mama's Opry. Could you tell us the story behind that?
Well, when I guess I'd been writing for maybe a couple of years, not quite that long, I'm not sure exactly, but it was pretty early on, and I wanted to write a song for my mother. And so I started thinking about, you know, what was the thing about my mother that was most significant to me or said the most to me about her, and that I settled on my mind that was her love for music. And so I just told her story, really, in that song. My mother, when she was young, she used to listen to the Carter Family and Jimmy Rogers and those old Grand Ole Opry radio shows. And I remembered when I was very young, I must have been about 5, I can remember singing along. My mother and I were singing along to a Loretta Lynn gospel record. And my mom said something about this place called the Grand Ole Opry and that she'd wanted to go off and sing there. And that stuck with me. And when I was writing that song that day, I began to remember that and remember that she'd sort of mentioned that off and on a number of times while I was growing up. And so that song's just about that dream that she had.
Well, let's listen to Mama's Opry, and that's performed by our guest today on Fresh Air, Iris DeMent. Find unusual, and I can't decide if it's a reflection on me or this culture or on you, but you do sing about how you love your parents in such a direct and honest way, and that's, I think, fairly unusual for someone in their mid-30s to sing and say those words, and I don't know if that's unusual for you.
That's true what you say. You don't often hear that, and I don't know why that is. I think a lot of people make the mistake listening to my music of thinking that I came from this perfect background and my parents are perfect, wonderful people and we had this perfect family. And that's not the case at all. My family had a lot of problems. There was a lot of struggles. There was a lot of low points. And my parents did not have this perfect marriage and we weren't the perfect family. My parents had a lot of faults. But there was some quality to my parents that overrode all of those things. And I think, you know, I just grew up always knowing that my parents loved us a lot. And in spite of all the trouble, we were going to come first. The kids in the family were first. And as a group, we were the priority. And I think as I get older, I can look back and see just all these little things that just showed a tremendous amount of loyalty and just different qualities. And so I don't know, you know, it's not a matter of being perfect, but they made a huge print on me, and I feel a tremendous amount of affection for them.
Singer-songwriter Iris DeMent, her new album is My Life.